Psalm 78, a Maskil of Asaph. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a new law in Israel, which he had commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not like be their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his deeds and his miracles that he had shown them. He wrought wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. Then he led them with a cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down the rivers. Yet they still continue to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that water gushes out, and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people?" Therefore, the Lord heard and was full of wrath. And a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. When he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl that the sand of the seas, then he let them fall in the midst of their camp, round about their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, and their desire he gave to them. Therefore they had satisfied their desires while the food was in their mouths. The anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sin. It's to praise God. It's to worship the Lord. And you need to teach them that this is proper and this is right and this is why we do this and, you know, all these sorts of things. And then the second one, you tell them about his strength. You tell them about how strong and how powerful that he is. And then you talked about the wondrous works that he has done. And so this is the role of the parent now, dealing with children. You teach them to worship the Lord. You teach them how powerful how God is, his character, his strength and his glory. And then you teach them about what God has done for you. You teach them about all the wondrous works. You know, say, "Oh, this is how God provided, you know, for us, provided for me when I was in college. This is how God, you know, did this. And, you know, even when you were born, you know, we didn't have this and God did this," and, you know, and so on and so forth. So you tell of the wondrous works that he has done. So it's important. So we teach to worship God. We teach them about who God is, his strength, his character. And then we share the testimonies of the wonderful works of God that he's done in our lives. And this is primarily the spiritual heritage that we pass down to our children. That's the idea. And so he starts off now. So now, verse 5, he's going to lay out the whole history. What happens? He established a testimony in Jacob. So you ask the question, or maybe you didn't, but maybe you should. Why Jacob? I thought it starts with Abraham. So I thought it should be, it would start off this whole thing by saying he established a testimony with Abraham. But no, it's Jacob. You know why it's Jacob? So Abraham is the father, but you know all these stories that happen. But the choosing, he still follows a certain line. Because what's the other line that happens, right? What's the other line? It's basically Ishmael, right? You know, and then later on, it will include, his name is you know, the, okay, I'll remember later. And so so there's clearly a distinction. And so he's saying that this covenant, right, it follows through this line. Abraham is a father. He's a, you know, we say father of everyone. We understand, we agree, right? But the line goes through Jacob. And so, remember, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it goes down that line. So Asaph is making a very, very clear statement here in this place. And he appointed a law in Israel. He commanded our fathers they should teach them to the children and so on and so forth. This is quite a long song, psalm, so I can't really go so in depth. But verse 9, it says, and the sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. So the idea of Ephraim is sometimes used to depict the sons of Israel. It means all the people, and so that's true in the writings that when they use that phrase, sons of Ephraim, it's meaning all of the Israelites, but it's primarily the reason why Ephraim is used. Remember, Ephraim was the breakaway tribe, the largest breakaway tribe. And so there's also that idea of kind of the sinfulness of Israel. And so there's a connotation that this is all Israel, but the idea is that this is, you know, it's like someone that's, let's say you have five kids and all your kids are, you know, they're okay, but one kid is just bad, you know? And then, but the whole family is depicted by that one kid, the bad kid. It's kind of very similar kind of idea that's there. And so this is what happened. They turned back from God. You know, when it was like when push came to shove, like battle, there is no particular battle that we know that Ephraim failed in, so we don't understand. So we can kind of understand this is more symbolic. I mean, it could have happened. There's just no record of it in Scripture. But in the time where they needed to be the people of God, they chose not to, and they turned their backs on the covenant of the Lord. They forgot his deeds, and so on and so forth. And then, so now Asaph is really talking about the whole picture of the flood of not the flood, but the crossing of the sea. God parts the sea. He makes water stand up as a heap. He leads them by a cloud by day and fire by night. You know, he causes water to flow from rocks. And we know all these things. This is all part of the Exodus story. We understand this. But then he says in verse 17, he says, yet they still continue to sin against him. They rebel against the Most High in the desert. In their heart, they put God to the test, asking food according to their desire. And they spoke against God, and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And then later on, can he give bread also? So notice the testing of what happens. The question is, they ask, is God able to do this? And God doesn't like that. They question his power. Can God do this? Can God, you know, do this and so forth? And especially, you think about how that craziness is. They're walking through the wilderness. There's no water and there's no food. And what does God do? Every morning, he brings down manna from heaven. Remember, manna in Hebrew, literally translated, is what is this? It was so foreign. It was something that they had no idea what this was, and yet he brings manna down from heaven. He brings water from around. I mean, this is miraculous stuff. In the middle of a desert, he's sustaining, you know, roughly maybe 2 million people, you know, in this desert. I mean, God's doing this, and they still rebel, and they ask, can you do this? Are you able? And so listen to what they ask. They ask God for food according to their fancy, like according to their desire. Like, It's like God provides for you very well. You're full, you eat and all this stuff, and then you get mad at God. God, where are the steaks, man? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, thank you for this food, but, you know, I want 3 Michelin star. Why, you know, are you, why are you not, you're not the provider. You don't provide for me because I'm not getting my 3 Michelin meal and so on and so forth. And, but isn't that basically what we do? You know what I mean? Isn't that basically our moaning and complaining about God? God provides for us. God puts, you know, a shelter over our head. And we complain, Lord, no, I want that mansion up there. You know, I mean, you know, thanks for my car, but man, that guy's driving a Lamborghini. That's what I want. And it's just, and it's according to our desire. And wrapped in all of this is this unbelief. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Of course he can, and he has. Can he give bread also? It's like, thanks for manna, but we want bread, and so on and so forth. And he says, therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath. He became infuriated, is the translation of what happens here. See, sometimes we just think, oh, unbelief, it's not a big thing. It's a very, very big thing. It's a huge thing. It makes God infuriated in this place. And so he goes and he disciplines Israel as a result. And, you know, so he sends them all these things. He sends them the ravens and these things. And you know what happens? They get sick as a result of that. And so he basically says, this is what you want? All right, let me give you what you want. And then we end up getting sick. Isn't that kind of what happens? Like, is the idea of God gives them over to their desires, like in Romans chapter 1? And so then you have to ask, why did God relent? Because he knew it was bad for us. Do you know what I mean? It's like someone comes and says, oh, you know, I'm struggling with finances, and, you know, we cry out to God, and all of a sudden God gives them $1 million. You know what happens? That person never sets foot in the church ever again. They basically got what they wanted, and they're gone. And it's those things end up ruining them. I mean, just think about it. So many. I mean, listen. We've had people. I know this is, you know, different EMP crowd, but we've had people, you know, when they were not working, you know, come out to EMP and, you know, beg and cry out to God for a job. And God, I want to serve you in my job. And all of a sudden, God gives them a job, and we never see them in prayer again. Right, and not that, you know, coming to EMP is the all in all, but it's all those things. I want to do this for you, God, and that never happens. You know, I mean, I'll be honest, it's rare when that happens. Then they get consumed with their job, you know, and it ends up ruining them in many ways, especially in their walk and in their faith. And we see this all the time, and this is basically what happens to the Israelites and all these things. But yet God still does this. God leads them through. And then what happens? They fail. And so we'll pick it up at verse 40. They rebelled against him in the wilderness. They grieved him in the desert. And again, they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. Our sin, our unbelief, is painful to God, especially when God does all these things for us. I mean, most of us here are parents, and so I think you probably understand this. How do you feel when you basically, I mean, okay, let's be honest. As parents, yeah, we basically, in many ways, live our life for our kids. And how does it feel when you do that, and you provide for them in the best way that you can, and you try to love them and all these things, and then, you know, there's one disagreement, and then they start yelling at you and accusing you, you know, and you don't love me, and, you know, and all these things. I mean, you know, we've got teenagers in our home. I won't say we're used to this, but this happens at times. And we're just kind of like, what the heck? Do you have any idea what we do for you? Do you have any idea how we go about living our life just for you? And then you know, this used to happen a lot, especially when we're traveling in the summer. And you could ask my wife. I would usually, I mean, this summer I didn't, But usually one time in the song, I would lose it. Because, like, you know, I'm working hard to you know, create something for my kids, and all they're doing is complaining, just moaning and moaning. And I at times, you know, I mean, I've asked God for forgiveness, you know, and kids too, but I get so mad, I just say, we're going back to Hong Kong tomorrow. Let's go. I'm going to call the agent right now. We're going to get our ticket. Because we're doing all these things, and all they're doing is moaning and complaining. And this is, I mean, think about that. That's on such a superficial level as parents. Imagine what God goes through. Imagine the pain in his heart when he does all these things. I mean, everything. He created the universe for us. And we moan and complain. We don't have this and we don't have that. You know what I mean? And it's just painful for the Lord. And then then he still forgives them. He leads them in. He brings them into the land of promise, right? All these things happen. Again, I mean, this is 40, goes on, it continues, you know, the Exodus story about the parting of the sea. He led them safely, 53, so they did not fear, and the sea engulfed their enemies. He brought them to his holy land, to his hill country, which his right hand had gained. He drove out the nations before them. He apportioned them an inheritance by measurement. He made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. And look, and yet, 56, they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God. Did not keep his commandments. It's like, now he brought you into the promised land. He drove out the enemies before you. He gave you land. I mean, you've been crying out because you were slaves in Egypt. Now you have land. You have possession. Your family is taken care of forever. You are allotted this inheritance. He sets you in tents. Now you have homes, your own homes. And yet, what do? You rebel against God. They set up the high places. They start worshiping idols. You know, all these things, they provoke the Lord with their sin. And so this is God's point of view. Verse 61, and he gave up his strength to captivity and his glory into the hand of the adversary. It's like God says, that's what you want? All right. He allows himself to be captured. This is the story of the Ark of the Covenant. He allows the glory to be captured, and he sits in the house of Dagon. But you know, God can take care of himself. They release God in that way. And yet in the midst of all this stuff, guess what? They still rebel against God. This is the story of Israel. It just goes on and on and on and on. But it ends with a promise. But chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved, and he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he has founded forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took from him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes and suckling lambs, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. Even though all this stuff, guess what? He still takes care of them. And obviously this last part is an allusion to eventually the son of David, which is Jesus the Christ. Even though all this rebellion, he still sends forth his son to save and rescue us. So let's close our eyes. Yeah, tough psalm this morning. Tough psalm. But let's reflect. You know, it's so easy to say, oh, those foolish Israelites. Man, those guys. We're not any different from them at all. We're really not. We complain and moan and grumble in the midst of God's provision and goodness. We moan about our desire. God does wonderful things and we complain it's not enough. We're not very much different from the Israelites. One moment we can be be uttering praises in the next moment, we can use that same tongue to curse God. Asaph writes this history to teach the Israelites not to repeat history. So let's not repeat history. Let's worship God. Let's tell of His strength. Let's tell of His mighty deeds.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. In all of my days, I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in You. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. In all of my days, I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Hear Your shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's pray this morning, let's pray that we would focus on His promises. You know, we focus on what we have and not what we don't have. Focus on His goodness and His power. I don't think many times we understand how ugly ungratefulness is. Let's repent. Let's pray this morning. We're having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to read them out for you here, okay? And so let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer. This is Esther Singh's sister, B. Kwan, Yuju Lee, Hazel Low, Isaac Chung, Caleb Scher's ex-helper, Pasita, Mia Febrero, Andrea Fu's great-grand-aunt, Helen, Jackie's friend's daughter, Fabri Huesca's team member, Olivia, Nicola Chen's uncle, Hannah Morris's grandmother, Jade Shi's sister, Vanessa Mack's father, Mary Basmilla's cousin, Anita, and Simeon Pang's friend. And let's lift up this community. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for Archie's friend's mom, Sybil, Rachel's colleague, Agnes, Caleb Scher's colleague, Maggie, Rosa Ng's mother, Virginia Cheng's older aunt and younger aunt, Thaddeus Tien's friend's mother, Jackie Lam's friend's father, Cadence Lam's friend's brother, Annie Lam's mother, Mary Ellen Coe's sister-in-law's sister, and Aunt Lee... Anne's Aunt Leah, and also salvation for her caregivers as well. Now let's lift up. Let's pray for non-cancer related illnesses. Angelung's mom, Jessica Singh, Becky Sang, Whitney Chung, Pastor Sophia, Tim's mom, and Seon Lee. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for a community that has COVID. Genevieve Wong and father, Pastor Kenny's helpers, Virginia Cheng, Diego Chan, and Caleb and Verity. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers, Abby, Amy, Christy, Eugenia, Jackie, Jade, Janet, JJ, Lawrence, Lynn, Peter, and Vanessa. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for a community looking for work, Sterling and Catherine. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for our ministry there. Pastor Sophia is in Australia for a few months on a bit of a sabbatical. So let's pray for her just to be rested. And let's pray for Jungmin and Hunjin. Pray for our community in Tokyo. Let's also pray in the U.S. Pray for SP New York and Kelly, Jess, and Ruth. And God will continue to move. And also for India, let's pray for Kelly and her ministry there. Let's lift up. Let's pray for over our mission council. Let's ask God's spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray for Pastor Simon Navarro, Tim, Sally, Mike, and John Koshi. Let's ask the Lord to really use them and lead our church. For SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries, let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to lead our families and the babies in our care. We prayed on Sunday. Let's continue to pray for baby A that the adoption process would go smoothly. Let's pray for a gathering tonight. over our IP team that the Lord would really use them to pray His purposes. Let's pray for SPU and SP youth. Caleb is has COVID, and so the youth teachers will be leading today. And so really pray that God would really use them. I'm sure they're a bit nervous, and so let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really give them strength tonight. Let's lift up. Pray for our ladies that are pregnant, Hina, and there may be some others. Let's pray for just a safe womb. Let's pray for Hina's health. Let's pray that when the delivery does come, that'll be very smooth and pain-free. And let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Agora, Go, McCain, McDaddy, Providence Bay, and Westside. Let's pray for the leaders, the hosts, that it would just be really a sanctuary that people come into. They would meet with God and really connect and meet with one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we recognize ourselves, Lord, in the story of the Israelites, God. You've blessed us so much. You've given us so much, especially your Son, God. And in return, Lord, we've complained, we've moaned, we've grumbled, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness, God. Lord, we have operated in ungratefulness, Lord. Lord, teach us to be a people that operate in thanksgiving. Help us, Lord. We're in dire need of you, Lord. And thank you. Watch over us today, Father. Help us to remember who you are, your character, your power, your goodness, God, and all the wonderful things that you've done for us, the wondrous acts of the Lord. And help us to teach the next generation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend.